Welcome back to another episode of the Dad's Game Podcast. It is I, Awesome Hazelnuts, and today marks the 57th birthday of Singapore. 9th of August, depending on where you're listening this from. Probably the National Day of Singapore has just passed, and for some, it is just a brand new Tuesday morning for you. So there's a lot of things that happen today. I wanted to record the episode a day ago, but I was thinking, what better way to record this episode than to record it on National Day itself, on my nation's 57th birthday. And there were a lot of things that I was thinking about, especially during this week of National Holiday when a lot of people are probably staying at home today. Most people are having their long-awaited family dinner together after such a long time. So what got me thinking was, it's a good trend to see many families having their holidays spent together. Be it, majority of my viewers are from America, and I do hope that most of you guys celebrate Independence Day, having some American barbecue with your family. It cannot even be an American barbecue, it can just be a simple meal of, who knows, I'm not really sure what Americans eat, because depending on the state you're from, you guys eat different stuff. And so, how I know that many people are eating dinner together, I spent an hour just now at three different supermarkets and wet markets. So basically, I went to six different markets in total, looking for vegetables to cook for tonight. My mother requested for a certain type of vegetable, and so I spent an hour hopping around different markets looking for it. And after the sixth market that I visit, I gave up. I couldn't find the vegetable that I wanted. If you guys know what's a hot pot, it's a soup base, you put in vegetables, meat, seafood, and then everybody just goes into the pot and scoop up whatever they want. And so the vegetable that I wanted for the hot pot was not available. After six tries, I gave up. I could only find one packet. And that was pretty fine with me. I still have other vegetables at home. So the point I got across was, this epiphany hit me and I realized, wow, it seems that there are a lot of people who will be celebrating National Day with their family together. I couldn't find this vegetable. Probably someone or many families have bought it. And so that gave me sort of a smile in my heart, knowing that people are having meals together. I for one do enjoy eating out. I like to go to cafes, I like to go to restaurants, fine dining, be it whatever. Primarily, I like to go omakases, Japanese cuisine. Sometimes I do like to go to have a meal at some Michelin star restaurants. But it's just enjoying the meal. It's not so much of enjoying the company or the person that you're with. I would say that I've visited countless restaurants in my life to the point where I would say, after a certain maxim of the food tasting good, there's really nothing much that you really expect out of it. And that's why when I do get a chance to eat my family, which is, I would say, quite often, usually I have dinner with my family 3 to 4 times a week, it just brings a smile to my face, realizing that the food can taste normal, but what matters is the time spent with your family. And so I do know that majority of Singaporeans don't really spend that much time with their families. Both, we are in Singapore, both parents are usually working and the child is left alone. It's very different for me because my mother's at home and my dad's working back when I was younger, about a decade, 2 decades ago. Nowadays, with the rising cost of living and all the crazy stuff going on around the world, there's barely any time for families to spend together. And so when I saw the vegetable run out, which is primarily used for hot pot, it means that many families will be sitting down together having a meal over this hot pot, talking about whatever the hell they want to talk about. So it does puts things into perspective, and it's something which is very heartwarming to me. I do hope that people don't just have family meals together just because it's National Day. I want it to be something that families do it together, because I do believe that for a nation to prosper, or for anyone to prosper, having a proper family unit is very important. I do know that maybe some people get turned off when I say this, But I do believe that the bedrock of a nation relies on families, strong familial ties, which ultimately leads to stronger communities. And when I think about community, it does have a very weird taste when I look at Legends of Runeterra. Runeterra as a game doesn't really require that much team building, community building, all that. The mere fact that every single card can be easily collected just by putting in X amount of time. You spend hours in the game, maybe a couple of weeks, you have almost completed the collection of every single card. It'll take you maybe a week to get a meta deck. That didn't really happen in Yu-Gi-Oh! You can spend a week playing the game, but that doesn't mean that you'll be able to get a viable meta deck. A veteran deck back then was very expensive, not many players could afford. And so when I think about patch notes and the current cards in the meta, it is incredibly hard for digital card games to reach a point where they can actually nerf and expect the game to be more balanced. I think that the game is skewed towards the first mover advantage when it comes to tournaments, when it comes to overall ladder experience. What I mean by first mover advantage is the ability to identify what is the strongest deck from the start and being able to capitalize on it. I do think that tournaments should at least have a patch that's been going on for a month. I don't believe that tournaments should have new patches here and there. We saw it twice where there was a brand new patch and then a tournament came immediately after that. It was the Go Hard Feel the Rush patch, which was 2020, near the end of 2020 before seasonal tournament, which I absolutely hated. There were at least 80 episodes ago where I was extremely vocal saying that there was no way, there was no planning when it came to that patch. They released two incredibly strong cards that shaped the game forever. Feel the Rush changed the way War Mother's Call was played. Go Hard changed the way that early mid-range decks could play. Pack Your Bags at 1 mana was incredibly strong. Feel the Rush at 12 mana at the time was crazy, so insane that the only counter at the time was Deny. There was no Right of Negation and all that. And there were barely any decks that could run Deny properly. Fiorashen being the only deck that could run that card realistically without it being too slow or affecting the overall gameplay of a Demacia deck. Because when you think about it, Deny as a card, it only works where you have very strong board presence or you're running a combo deck where your opponent's role is to remove whatever you have. If you're going to run Deny in a deck where you also run other mid-range creatures that don't really pose much of a threat, the deck doesn't work. And the big reason why Fiorashen worked wonders back then was you could have a very menacing board. The deck relied solely on you having a sizable board, not the kind which can threaten lethal at all times, but something which can generate value and efficient trades every time. Fiora always meant that there was a way to win the game without going to zero health on the Nexus. Shen on the board means that each time they have a challenge unit plus Shen, the trade will always be super efficient because it's barrier. And then together with Fury, Screeching Dragon will get stronger, Fiora will automatically get a free kill, going towards win con, going towards a level up condition. And then you pack it up with buffs such as the pre-nerf Sharp Sight, you have Repulse from the Champion spell, you have Deny, which is incredibly powerful, and then you have River Shaper, which could draw you cards every single time. Even playing Barrier onto River Shaper is very strong, because you get to hit and draw a card, which is a very underrated thing. And so the deck posts very strong, valuable creatures, where Deny was always seen as not only just a protection for their creatures, it was a mitigation for most decks' win condition. Let's say their spells cost more than 6 or 7. And that got Fiorashen to a pivotal point where the player who played that deck usually has to be thinking forward. Because leaving mana for Deny is very pivotal when you run Fiorashen, and many players who don't really know how to pretend that they have Deny don't really find success with Fiorashen. Because when you remove everything from the deck, it's just basically a very strong Demacia deck with Deny. Very similar to its previous iteration of Demacia plus 2 Deny. And that meta showed that the only way to run Deny was with Fiorashen. And FTR's only counter at that point of time was Fiorashen. And during that entire seasonal tournament format, it was kind of infuriating because the players who realized that the two most broken spells in the game, Gohard and FTR, if they included those two specific decks in the lineup, they would have an instantaneously amazing time. No surprise there. If you look across the board, the players who won seasonal tournament at the time, they were playing both of those cards. Let's just talk about the Southeast Asian perspective. The winner of that tournament, the first ever seasonal tournament, was Pee Ping Ho. If I'm not mistaken, his lineup was Gohard, Feel the Rush, and Star Spring. The deck was incredibly meme-y, yeah, lack of a better word. I am a Demacia Targon player, and so when I see someone running Star Spring, it just feels like a free win for me. But against most decks, Star Spring is very powerful. We have Soraka and Tahmkench, which is not commonly played outside of Star Spring decks. And so what I'm trying to say is that the players who realize, who figure out the meta early, usually has an advantage. And so let's say a brand new patch happens before a tournament, the player who figured out the best decks to play will usually win. If a brand new patch happens during a ladder season, that player will usually hit a 10, 20, 30 win streak and achieve top 10 masters, sometimes top 1 masters. And this is repeated again with Aphelios release. And the deck which leveraged the most on Aphelios was none other than TF Aphelios, and in some cases, Lee Sin Aphelios. And when you look across the board of every single seasonal tournament at a time, the winning combination always had a form of Aphelios deck inside. It got to the point where Riot had to nerf Aphelios later on. And when I look at the current meta as it stands, the Bud Menace together with the Akshan Menace, there are basically two kinds of deck that exist. One that heavily relies on Bud to buff all the stats, turning your mid-range deck into a control deck. And there's another camp, which is the Akshan, or the basically the mid-range slash combo-oriented playstyle with Kai'Sa and all that good stuff. And there isn't that much figuring out when you put those two kinds of playstyle together. When Bud, your overall strategy is to have a singular tempo-oriented playstyle all the way to turn 5. The moment you hit turn 6 is where critical mass happens. Most of your cards or half your deck has really been filled with chimes. And from there, it's just basically a stat stick. All you gotta do is just play a 1 drop with what, 6 attack. A 2 drop with what, 6 attack, 7, 8 attack. And let's say you're running Ahri Bud, your elusives can deal 7 damage per pop. A 1 mana 7 damage. And if you're running Bud Illaoi, your tentacle probably is making your opponent just want to tap out. But if they somehow clear the tentacle, they somehow clear Illaoi, and boom, you drop a 7 attack Fortune Croaker. You drop 8 attack Sea's Voice. And then your opponent just, okay, you know what, I just scoop. I just lose on this at this point. And so the game either goes both two ways. One deck gets to fulfill its win condition and win by turn 5, basically Kai'Sa or Illaoi. Or it drags past turn 5. And you either die to Void Abomination or you get destroyed by an 8-8 stat stick for 2 mana. That's the current state of the meta as it is. And so when I think about a patch that will momentarily solve some problems, not all, some problems, I have a list of cards that I think will need to have some changes to it. Everyone knows that I'm not a big fan of nerfs. I really dislike nerfing cards. I always believe in buffing other cards in the overall pool. But we reach a point where me and you, my viewers, we really understand one thing. It is, there's no turning back anymore. Every single brand new patch will introduce even stronger cards. And that means that no matter how much you try to save the old cards, there is no way that those older cards will be as good as the newer cards. Let's do a thesis. Right of Negation versus Deny. Right of Negation use case is way better than Deny. Deny may be great, you know. I get to just outright stop it. Right of Negation requires destruction of something, or sacrificing one mana gem. When you think about it, Right of Negation does more. And so what I'm trying to say is that both cards objectively does the same thing. It stops something. It just stops something. But Right of Negation can stop more at the cost of more stuff. Sometimes you place your win con, you get to sacrifice something, you get a slay onto your own unit, and you buff Nasus or you trigger Viego. So you get what I'm trying to say. Even though both cards objectively achieve something, one card is obviously better than the other. And with each brand new patch being released, we have Merciless Hunter. At first it was a 3 mana 4-3, fearsome together with target something gets vulnerable. It is a 3 mana 4 that. It has fearsome and it can turn anything vulnerable. This is way better than any other 3 drop at the time. What was a better 3 drop at the time? Nothing. Nothing could be Merciless Hunter. Even the Sea's Voice is a 3 mana 3-3. You grant something overwhelmed. You close one and you think, wow, a 3 drop that can grant overwhelm each time he attacks to a unit. Wow, that's pretty strong. How about older 3 drops? Lauren Prodigy, 3 mana 2-4 Challenger. Okay, the stat wise is fine. It's but it's not as strong as Merciless Hunter. Merciless Hunter is 3 mana 4-3 and it grants vulnerable to something. Which means that it is a better Lauren Prodigy. So you're just trying to understand what I'm trying to say. We already went past the point of Runeterra buffing older cards. There's no need to buff older cards. It's just going to get forgotten. Maybe in one patch, that specific card just fits a certain role. You can just add it in. Because you know why? The stats are fucking amazing. Apart from that, the older cards will never stand up to the newer cards. Merciless Hunter is one example. There are certain other cards that just look so damn strong. Like Rite of Calling. Rite of Calling is just crazy. When it was first released, I didn't bother too much. I always thought that, oh, you know what? Sacrificing one mana gem, destroying one card is okay. But now you think about it, with future patch being released, and the same analogy of combo decks having some cards which are absolutely useless, and then a patch later, wow, why not add this useless card? It just seems so useful here. And it somehow works. And that card which exists in the past which didn't work previously somehow worked because right meta conditions, right cards released, right support, right time, right place, become so broken. So that's what I'm thinking. If there's a way forward, it's only to nerf cards temporarily until a new patch comes out. The whole cycle repeats. And it's very reminiscent of whatever's happening in the world. It's always chaos, and then there's order, chaos, and then there's order. So there's always a seesaw thing. It's like those people in the financial markets. They know that sometimes stock markets always go up. Afterwards, stock market crash, commodities go up. So it's just a cycle. It's like a business cycle. And so this is very common or very business-esque like card games. There's always a period where the meta is stable because a lot of nerfs happen. And then a brand new patch comes out, everything gets crazy. Some cards are more powerful than the rest. Cycle repeats, nerf, release, nerf, release. And here we are. And so let's get into the meat and the potatoes. A couple of cards which I think needs to get some nerf. But do know that these nerfs are only going to be temporary until the new patch comes out. And so let's get started, shall we? No surprise there, the first card that I think needs to get nerfed is none other than Rite of Calling. I think that having a spell that can easily tutor any champion from a deck is bound to be problematic. And especially so, because when you think of mono decks, okay, let's just say when the release of Nasus happened, Rite of Calling was supposed to be in line with Nasus. You sacrifice a creature, you slay your own stuff, you get a Nasus. Yeah, that's pretty great. In some cases, you know that, maybe my opponent has Vow Feast, they have Noxious Fervor, they have single combat that they can deal with my creature, and my Rite of Calling most likely fail. So in that case, they will sacrifice their mana gem to get one Nasus from their deck. And in the case of Nasus Trash, whichever you do, you will always get a champion which is useful. Trash is incredibly powerful in Nasus Trash. The ability to have cheap minions getting destroyed, Trash itself being the ability to challenge anything it wants, getting a slay count, getting a add-on to his win con leveling up, and then you summoning a free Nasus from your deck. Okay, that's pretty great. But when you understand how Nasus Trash works, it functions as a late-game deck. It is a deck which functions or revolves around efficient mid-game trading of your creatures suiciding or you destroying opponent's card. And then you reach turn 6, you drop Nasus. Nasus will hit something once, get leveled up, get spell shield. And that's pretty much game over. Most creatures at that point of time don't really have 2 attack or more. And then with Nasus leveling up, everything gets minus 1 attack. And Nasus just attack Nexus once. In some cases, you don't need to attack because your creatures have a very high attack with low health. Perfect in a Slay kind of deck. Goes to the Nexus hit once, or maybe Atrocity with a Spell Shoe layer on top. And that's game from there. There is no countering Nasus Trash. It's a very balanced kind of playstyle, and I don't remember being an avid hater of that deck. I think that Nasus Trash is by far the most balanced tier 1 deck at that point of time. And during that meta when Nasus Trash was tier 1, there was another two more decks which form a trifecta. It was the Shyvana Dragons together with TLC, Trundle Lissandra Control, and Nasus Trash. These three decks form the ultimate three deck in that format. And somehow TLC just destroys both, with Nasus Trash maybe having a okay time against TLC. But a lot of players do know that TLC just wrecks everything. And the reason why Riot Calling at the time wasn't that crazy or out of control was because at that point of time it was only run in Nasus Trash. No other deck could function with Riot Calling. Like maybe you run Echo, but Echo isn't a be all end all game ender. You don't win games in one turn. But everything changed with the release of Kai'Sa. I think Kai'Sa's release changed the way that Riot Calling was played. Because Kai'Sa on its own, right, is a champion where it's not like Nasus. Nasus requires attacking plus Atrocity to actually be a threat. But if you look at Kai'Sa, on turn 5, you most likely flip, you most likely level up. And then you copy a Scout and a Challenger, and in some cases, you get a Supercharge. Copy everything, you gain like 4 keywords on top of his original quick attack. And you have 5 keywords. Ikaten Ruin is going to deal 5 damage. Together with Overwhelm, Spell Shoe, Quick Attack, Scout, Challenger. Man, that is instantly game over. It's a turn 5, late game turn into a mid game kind of strategy. And many decks that require setup, such as, you know, developing the board or that, it gets a double clear. And in some cases, it clears everything opponent has because of Ikaten Ruin, together with Scout, together with Quick Attack, together with Challenger. It's so crazy to the point where Riot of Calling enabled Kai'Sa until it became better to just run it on its own. Some players might prefer the Silver version, some people might prefer the Akshan version, it's more consistent. But when people start to realize, oh my gosh, I can just run a single Kai'Sa, 3 copies of Riot of Calling, I have 6 champions in my deck, isn't it way better than it is? And when you look at the creatures in Kai'Sa, in the Kai'Sa deck, it has the 2 mana Spell Shield evolve creature. You can just write a calling onto it. Your opponent probably can't clear it. And 0 cost, man. How many cards can deal with 0 cost? Other than what? Nopify. No other deck can actually deal with that. Single combat can't re-clear the 2 mana 3-1 Spell Shield. That means you instantly always draw Kai'Sa every single time. And the whole deck win con is very simple. We develop Kai'Sa on 5. You flip it. Copy Spell Shield, Quick Attack. No, you still copy Spell Shield, Overwhelm, Scout, and Challenger. And the game just ends. Each time your opponent tries to develop, you just slap Cataclysm, you get an attack token, and you attack again, with Scout again, and here and there. And that's it. Most decks that run Riot Calling, the champion that you get, it doesn't end the game outright on its own. It requires like, what, 2, 3, 4, 5 turns of the champion being on the field, generating value, such as Echo, such as Zillion, such as Nasus. But for Kai'Sa in Riot Calling, it's an instant draw, level up, boom, game ends. And so it is finally time for Riot Calling to get nerfed. I think that nerfing it outright may hurt a lot of decks. And so if I were to nerf it, it definitely has to be changed to 1 mana. Nerfing the effect is no go. And the only way to move forward with it is to hurt it by increasing mana cost. Not too much, but a sizable amount, which is 1 mana. It's still playable, but it does affect the curve of Kai'Sa a lot. Because it really relies on having spell mana for the supercharge and the second skin turn. And having that 1 mana taken away by Riot Calling means that if they don't control their mana properly, on turn 5, they will not have the mana to do the combo of supercharge and all that. But if you think forward, Riot Calling will become even more problematic, especially when Shurima has more champions being released, when players start to add Riot Calling to almost every single Shurima pair. Every single combo deck. It is a very efficient way of drawing a champion. And so as of now, the 1 mana nerf, increasing it to 1 mana is okay. But in the future, I do think that turning it to 2 or 3 mana should be a more sizable balancing. It's not even a nerf at this point. I think 0 mana is just too damn good. And the next card, which I believe needs to get nerfed, is none other than Supercharge. I think that Supercharge is everything wrong with Shurima and with champion-related decks. When you look at Bastion, objectively it's a 4-mana spell shoe. When you think of Zenith Blade, it's objectively a 3-mana Overwhelm. That means there's 7-mana worth of stats combined into a 3-mana spell. When I think that Riot released such a card as Supercharge, I really have no clue what they're doing. I do know that Riot has created some stupid cards such as Go Hard, Feel the Rush, Ophelios. These three cards I think are super super problematic. It changed the way that games are supposed to be played. But with Supercharge, it's just crazy. And the best part of it all is that it's Kai'Sa's champion spell. I do not like nerfing champions that much. I think that champions should remain as it is, but the support cards should be nerfed. Because champions are what makes the deck the deck. It is essentially the soul of the deck. And if you nerf the champion, the support cards will still remain. And that means that if later down the road, another champion appears, something which can be played better with the support cards. So it becomes a new problem. The support cards will always be the issue instead of the champion. And that's why I think that Supercharge has to get nerfed. Because Supercharge, right, just turns any creature that you have into a walking OTK. Let's say you Supercharge onto your Scout, your 2-mana Eagle, your 2-mana 2-1. You apply Supercharge, then you second skin and copy like 4 keywords out of it. And for the rest of the game, every single Kai'Sa you drop will always have every single keyword. And let's say you reach the end game, which is turn 8, Void Abomination. You copy second skin onto Void Abomination. Okay, the game just ends instantly. There's no counterplay to Void Abomination. I think Void Abomination is okay, but for a turn 8 drop, it might be a little bit too strong. And so with Supercharge. Supercharge is just... Okay, as of now, it's only very played in Kai'Sa. Every other deck doesn't really function in Supercharge that well. The reason being that every other deck cannot function in Supercharge because it just works wonder in Kai'Sa. And because Kai'Sa is turn 5. It's a 5 drop. And so when you think of Kai'Sa as a 5 drop, and let's say down the road it gets nerfed to a 6 drop, which I think 6 drop is really rare fair because you know what, 6 mana, 6-6, level up, evolve, sounds pretty good. Turn 5 is just too early for evolve to even trigger. And I do think that the evolve keyword should at least have a turn timer attached to it. It shouldn't be just keywords, 6 keywords. You should be turn 6 with 6 keywords. Turn 6 onwards with 6 keywords. That's the only proper way to nerf evolve. Because evolve, right, really makes deep look like a joke. Deep is like, you require 15 cards or less. And you require to run so many toss packages. You need Jettison, you need Salvage, you need... Basically, you need a bunch of keyword supporting cards. But for Kai'Sa, you can just run the best cards from Demacia, best cards from Shurima. And you have the evolve deck. It doesn't sound fair. This is a big problem with newer cards always being better than the older cards. And that's why I think that evolve moving forward does really need the keyword to have some form of adjustment. Because as of now, the keyword is not fair. The ability to instantly evolve with 6 different keywords is just crazy. And before the sharp side nerf, it was kind of nutty. Because sharp side is one card where it counts into a keyword, being able to block elusive. And thank goodness they removed that. If not, it will be far easier level up condition. Now it's much more team, but Kai'Sa is still not balanced. That's all I can say. And Supercharge is going to have the same treatment as Rite of Calling. I think that Supercharge needs to be 4 mana. In some cases, even needs to be 5 mana. I think nerfing the effect can go two ways. You either nerf the cost of it, or you change the effect of it. You change it to grant Overwhelm, and if the targeted unit is evolved, you grant Spell Shield. I think that is more fair. But personally, I would prefer going the cost increase rather than nerfing the card outright. Because nerfing the card outright just makes it unplayable. Okay, maybe it's playable because, you know, Supercharge, Overwhelm at 3 mana, pretty neat. But if you turn it into 4 mana, and you also change the effect, it makes it more fair. It makes it like a Bastion plus a Zenith Blade cost, which is pretty fine as well. But then again, when you think about every single card in the pool, no card is as strong as Supercharge. No buff spell is as strong as Supercharge. I think Supercharge really needs to get a whole design rework. And the best way is to grant it Overwhelm, and if it's evolved, give it Spell Shield as well. That's probably the most fair approach. And the third card, you know, notice that every single card that I'm nerfing has to do with Kai'Sa related. Because Kai'Sa is a very big problem, especially with the way the deck functions. Reason being, Kai'Sa being a damn big problem is because it outright makes every single mid-range deck look terrible. On turn 5, you just win. It clears 2 cards. It has Kaitan Rain, it has Overwhelm. Okay, then you know, like, GG, game over. It has Spell Shield as well. It has everything that a late game champion wants to have at the cost of half the game length. And that's why the next card I'm going to nerf is Void Abomination. I think that Void Abomination needs to get nerfed to the moon. And 8 mana is just too crazy. It needs to be at least 10 mana. The reason why it's 10 mana is because its effect is just too damn strong. You know how many games where my opponent just does nothing the entire game? I clear his Kai'Sa once, clear his Kai'Sa twice. Turn 8 draws Void Abomination. I just look at the screen and you know, I just lost. It has a barrier, it has Spell Shield, it has Scout Challenger, Quick Attack, Overwhelm. Basically every single good keyword that you actually need. Maybe Formidable is okay. But get what I mean? It is going to be a 7 attack. At minimum. It's going to have Scout. It's going to have... Okay, it's going to be a Nightmare. It's going to be Abomination. But no pun intended. And not only making it 10 mana is going to be sufficient. It also needs another nerf to it. Is it? Which is going to be... It loses all keywords on the turn you end without... when you use the attack token. So basically after your attack token is used, end turn, all the keywords get lost. I think that's the only proper way. I think Void Abomination is just too powerful. Some might say that Ledros is also very powerful. But Ledros is 9 mana, and I have no idea why even Void Abomination is 8 mana. It needs to be at least 10 mana. Bare minimum 9 mana. Because turn 8 is too early. And everyone knows that Void Abomination is just the get out of jail free card. It is what happens when Kai'Sa doesn't work on turn 5. It is the insurance package. And the mere fact that you can run 3 copies of Void Abomination, which makes it a 9 champion deck, you can screw up the early game. But the moment you reach turn 8, you know it, I know it, everyone knows it. Void Abomination comes down, and that's game. Not saying that this podcast is over as of now, but all I'm saying is that Void Abomination is just craziness in one card. Sometimes, I even wonder, with this entire Kai'Sa package, what the heck is Riot trying to accomplish? Okay, everyone knows, some of my friends like Kai'Sa. They are pretty much anime guys. They think Kai'Sa is pretty hot, all that crazy stuff. They do love the Star Trek or the Void kind of like art. But this Void Abomination with Kai'Sa is just craziness. This really reminds me of why I left Yu-Gi-Oh! In the first place, because of the Infernal Dragons or the Elemental Dragons, which just made the game so unbearable to play. Kai'Sa on the mid game turn 5. Just makes mid-range deck look terrible. Void Abomination on turn 8 makes every control deck look like a joke. And with these two reasons, I believe that the only way to nerf Kai'Sa or to make it even balanced for now until the end of the month or the end of next month is to nerf these three cards. Right, I'm calling Supercharge and Void Abomination. Every single other kind of deck is just okay. But the Evolve keyword, man, I wonder what's going to be next. Next in the pipeline. Deep is just a +4/+4 when you have literally one third of your deck left. Evolve is basically, you evolve the moment you play 6 different cards. Yeah, it's just basically 6 different cards and you instantly evolve. Man, this is going to be some incredibly tough times moving forward for Runeterra. And that's why I do believe that this is the final good year of Runeterra before it goes to shit. And let's move on to other archetypes. What else do we need to nerf? There's plenty more, so hang on tight. Going down the list, there's also another deck, Bud Illaoi. I think Bud Illaoi is harder to nerf. In fact, there's going to be a gameplay change which I'll be talking about regarding Chimes. I think Chimes' problem isn't so much of the cards that produce Chimes. It's more like the Chimes keyword definitely needs a change. But when I look at the deck list of Bud Illaoi, or overall decks which have Bilgewater, there's one card which really got me thinking, which calls for instant nerf as of now. It's none other than Hired Gun. I think Hired Gun at 2 mana 2/3 with the ability to grant vulnerable to something is actually pretty strong. So the right way to move it forward in the future, considering the future of aggro and all that, it's going to be better that the card becomes a 2 mana 2-2. I still think that 2 mana 2-2 is still very fair with its effect, and it makes aggro somewhat have a better time against Hired Gun. Hired Gun just stops every single aggro deck. And with this nerf, I think that Hired Gun will potentially become less oppressive against those aggro-loving players. And when we talk about aggro, right, there is the any TF problem. I think any TF is currently the meta check or the meta standard. This deck just has a 50-50 across the board against everything that is not Trials. And we talk about Trials, everyone seems to be forgetting about it, right? And I do think that any TF as a deck is fundamentally ridiculous. I think that everything wrong about Runeterra is any TF. And it all revolves around three cards. Make It Rain, Disintegrate, and Ravenous Flock. These three cards just make removal too good. You look at Shadow Ulz removal, it requires some form of sacrifice. It requires Glimpse Beyond. You know, Glimpse Beyond requires you to sacrifice something. Black Spear requires you to have a creature of yours destroyed to actually deal 4 damage. Vengeance is 6 mana, it costs so much. But when you look at any TF, or the overall board white cards, Ravenous Flock at 1 mana deal 4 to a damage or stun unit, it's just crazy. I think that it's finally time for Ravenous Flock to be 1 mana deal 3. It is a card which I've been vouching for so long that it is just ridiculous. Many players refuse to acknowledge or believe what I'm saying. I do think that Ravenous Flock is just too crazy for 1 mana. And Make It Rain at 2 mana is also very crazy. Another nerf that I think has to come is either make it 2, target 2, or change it to 3 mana. I don't know that this nerf is definitely going to hurt any TF a lot. But when you think about it overall, you want every single deck to have a fighting chance. And there's no better way for every single deck to have a fighting chance than to nerf the removal packages. Because Make It Rain, right, as a card, makes aggro look like a joke. And that's the big reason why any TF has such a good matchup spread against everything. Because if its removal is just too reliable. Like what am I saying? Removal is supposed to be reliable? No, removal is not supposed to be reliable. The whole point of Runeterra is to have creatures to block. And when you look at any TF as a deck, it doesn't need creatures. You just need a bunch of chump blockers. You need like House Spider, some spiders to stun, House Spider, la la la. And then you go towards Tybalt, you drop Tybalt, and then every single spell just deal more damage. Twister Fate, red card deals 2, stun card deals 3, any deals 3, level any does 4. T-Burst just stuns and destroys everything. So fundamentally as a deck, it's just stupid. A deck that just relies on spells to win games without any interaction is just ridiculous. Even Ezreal Twister Fate or Ezreal Karma requires you to think and to execute a strategy to win. But for Tybalt decks, it's just, oh, I play this, I remove. Or I summon Tybalt, everything costs more, I just activate, hit the Nexus, and I win. And that means that any TFS deck just isn't interactive as a supposedly new version of Ezreal Karma. Fundamentally, many players will think, oh, it's the same deck, oh, it just removes stuff and then you win con. But no, it's different. Ezreal Karma requires a degree of skill to play. Any TF does not. Any TF is just, oh, everything a boy play, I just remove it because my removal is cheap. Do you know how expensive removal was in Ezreal Karma? Mystic Shock is 2 mana due to. Static Shock is 4 mana, 1 damage, which makes Make It Rain half the cost, can deal 3 to 3 units. And then you have Ravenous Flock, 1 mana due 4. And the only way you're going to deal 4 is Thermogeny being 4 mana. Sometimes in some cases, you got to spend like 7 mana just to deal 7 on a 3 life unit. So you get what I'm saying is the cheap removal is making any TF oppressive. And let's say that hypothetically we nerf every single thing in Runeterra. And any TF will remain. Let me tell you, the game is going to be hell. At one point, Swain Twister Fate was played by almost everybody. And I hated that meta. I absolutely think that Ravenous Flock, Make It Rain are two stupid cards. Removal shouldn't be cheap and efficient. Removal should be costly and straight to the point. Ravenous Flock doesn't do that. Ravenous Flock is like, what, 1 mana deal 4? Make It Rain is 2 mana deal 1 to like 3 different stuff, including the Nexus sometimes. And sometimes when you trigger on a Nexus, you can just, yay, I can plunder. You get what I mean? And that's why I think that having such options in cheap removal is very detrimental to the future of Runeterra. And the biggest problem of that all is Disintegrate. I think that Disintegrate is something which keeps me up at night. It's the sort of card. I think that Disintegrate is pretty much the more overpowered version of Scorched Earth. But I do think Scorched Earth is fair. But Disintegrate, not fair. I think Disintegrate is on another level of ridiculousness like Kai'Sa. And I do know that Runeterra has recently been creating much more cards with insanely high power creep. I think it's signs of the game going on a decline. Runeterra is going to be crashing to the floor real soon. Disintegrate Kai'Sa. These are two of the most crazy, ridiculous cards I've seen so far this year. And that's a big reason why, even though I do enjoy playing Runeterra, it's not a sort of game where I look forward to playing anymore because of cards such as Disintegrate. You know, back then, you want to remove a card, you need to plan in advance. You need to, like, I whittle him down by 2 damage, and then on next turn, I can Challenger, Barrier, and attack. But Disintegrate is like, oh, okay, I just Disintegrate, make it rain, okay, I mean. You get what I mean? It just requires so little setup to clear something. Last time, you still need to Azure Draven. Just to give you an example. You need to stun, then you Ravenous Flaw, then you Mystic Shot. You need to set up Mystic Shot, then you try Beam. It is not as simple as Disintegrate, where, oh, okay, Blaze Edge, Disintegrate, okay, then, that's it, your creature dies. The whole game has changed, and I think that this change makes, like I said in the last episode, a lot of players which I never seen before hitting high Master Rank are actually hitting high Master Rank now, because the good players have all left, with the exception of maybe less than 5, less than 10. Not to say that I'm one of those 10 players, but if I do play, I can easily hit high Master Rank. But when I look at the Master Rank now, it's just filled with players which I never seen before. Like, let's say we merge servers, Asia Pacific is now Japan, Korea, China, with some other parts of Southeast Asia. A lot of these old players have really left. And the newer players, I've not seen them before, but they all spam the same few decks. It's always about Papercraft Dragon, some form of stupid Papercraft deck. In fact, they're running the latest meta deck that everyone tells them to play. They just jam a few games and they win. And so you get what I mean. The game has devolved to the point where any simple thinking player can just run it. It's like Secret Paladin. Any player can run Secret Paladin and achieve a form of success. And with Disintegrate, with Kai'Sa, anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. You don't need to be a PhD scholar to function the deck well. You just need to just play it. Oh, I lose the game. Okay, next 5 games I just win because I reach my win con and my opponent can't. Simple as that. And the next archetype, which everybody seems to forget, is Trials. I think that the biggest removal, or the most insane removal in the game, is Buried in Ice. I think at 9 mana, it is okay. But there will come a point where Frail Lord becomes tier 1 again. And in order for that to become more balanced in the future, it needs to have the same treatment as War Mother's Control and Field of Rush. I think that Buried in Ice needs to be 11 mana so that players who are running Buried in Ice needs to think ahead of banking spell mana and having their own existing mana pool to cast a spell. That means that Buried in Ice can only be played as early as turn 8. I do know sometimes you can Ice Pillar level up Trundle and then you use Buried in Ice. Because Buried in Ice sometimes is just game ending. You can play on turn 6, turn 7, and then on the turn 8 you develop your board and then push, you swing. But now with the brand new way of playing Frail Lord, let's say Buried in Ice gets nerfed, the only way for you to run Buried in Ice is to set up a turn where you can Ice Pillar, Buried in Ice, a free attack on Trials, or your opponent's turn they can redevelop again and then pass back to your opponent, and they can use Buried in Ice again. Because before that, you can easily cast it too early. And in Trials is not a late game deck. It's a mid-range deck that has late game creatures. It speeds up your countdown or your landmarks. You drop a single 8-8 and the game just ends. And you get access to Buried in Ice as early as turn 6 because of the way spell mana system works. And there's no comeback for your opponent from there. That's impossible. There's no way. And I think that that's a big reason why I think Buried in Ice needs to get some form of nerf. It really puzzles me how the latest few cards are just so crazy. And we are going with a card from PNZ. This card has been on my radar for a while now. I've always had a big issue with 0 mana cards. I think that 0 mana card should be designed in a way where it doesn't outright break the game. And currently now, this card is the ultimate trigger for many different kinds of PNZ decks. It can be run in TF together with Nami, but more commonly seen in Nightfall decks or Winding Light Targon decks. This card is not other than Poro Cannon. I remember the early days of Poro Cannon together with TF Fizz. It was seen as a card to enable TF's easy discarding of the stress testing and then you draw a card. It can be used to discard fleeting cards to generate 2 Poros. You drop the Poro doesn't really matter that much. It's just cheap one damage consistently. It's like a ballistic ward using the boom thing, one mana spell. Ballistic ward got nerfed and no one wants to play it anymore. I think that nerf was a nerf in a good direction. The card went from overpowered to just okay. But Runeterra relies on cards being overpowered. No one likes to run balanced cards. If not, everybody running the Marcia now. And so Pearl Cannon has reached the point where Critical Mass again. I think that this card enables too many Winding Light decks. And the only way to nerf it without making it suck too much is to turn it into a 1 mana spell. I do know that this is going to be a very heavily debated kind of nerf. But turning it to 1 mana really makes it more fair. Because you have to understand that when you're playing Poro Cannon, you're most likely going to have Victor in the deck. And that really means that, let's say you cast a 0 mana Poro Cannon, you get a bunch of Nimble Poros which are 1 mana. With Victor level up, these Poros turn to 0 mana, and then you play for free. And so nerfing Poro Cannon to 1 mana means that your first spell that you cast is going to cost mana, but your Poro Cannons are going to be 0 cost. Because Poro Cannon is usually not played until you have something that you want to play it with. It is usually a dead draw, unless your hand is super good. And in some cases, PNC Targon, you don't even cast Poro Cannon until you have Victor level up. And so you can develop like 0 mana stuff, drop one in light, and the game just ends. Your Dust Petal is what, 0 mana as well. You get what I mean? It's not a card that you play on curve, or it's not a card that you play when you want to play. You play it because you have no other play, or you want to do a combo play. And that's why I believe that Poro Cannon and 1 mana still does the things that Winding Light wants to do, but a build at a more costly kind of gameplay instead of something that is free. And the next card which ties in together with Chimes is none other than Esmus, Breath of the World. I think that nerfing this card to a 2 mana 0-1 is in the right direction, because this card represents a +2/+2 in terms of stats at 2 mana, which makes this card almost as good as Mentor of the Stones. You notice that no one runs Mentor of the Stones anymore because it's 3 mana, 1-1. The mere fact that Esmus is elusive means that it can be drawn on turn 2, it can buff something without getting destroyed, and it's a concurrent buff that sticks throughout that entire game. Your Chime sticks, the buff sticks, is a grant by the way, and for the rest of the game, Esmus will be on the board, unless your opponent summons an elusive and block it. And that's why I think that changing it to 1 life means that it can block against Nimble Poro and just die. Instead of in the past, Nimble Poro broke, Esmus still remains on the field. So this is more like a quality of life nerf to ensure that Esmus down the road doesn't become too insanely powerful. Because a Chime onto Esmus turns into a 1-3, which makes it impossible to kill. That means it's always going to deal 1 damage. And to make it 1 life means that it's going to be able to be removed very easily. Gohard kills it, a lot of spell, Blaze Edge kills it on the spot. So get what I mean? The main issue with Esmus is that you can't nerf it in the late game because Chimes work fantastically. In the late game, Chimes is going to turn Esmus into a 8 attack, 10 life creature. I've seen it so many times when I'm playing Bard Illaoi. It gets to the point my opponent just scoops on the spot. And so this nerf is to ensure that Esmus is cleared early, but there's no guarantee of it in the late game. I do have a couple of other cards I want to know, such as Papercraft Dragon, Werelop, Irelia, Sands of Time, but I think that those nerfs don't really need to come now. The current meta game doesn't really revolve around those cards. And to nerf some cards means that other archetypes will get buffed indirectly. And so moving forward in this game, I think that patch notes will happen once every 2 months now. Like, it used to be like every week. I didn't like the every week patch notes. I prefer something that's more dragged out, that Riot can take the time through and actually develop it. But the game has reached a point where patch notes don't really matter at all because of the frequency of brand new cards being released. And so as a player of Runeterra, no doubt the game is free to play. Every single card that you want to get will eventually be achieved by the weekly reward or whatever. And so when I think about Runeterra in the next year, I might not even be playing it at all, but maybe I'll just drop by, download it back, play a few games, make a podcast episode here and there. Chimes is going to be a very big issue, and that's why I think that a quality of life patch or a change to Chimes might be a good thing, because down the road there's going to be more Chimes support, there's going to be more Bard support, there's going to be more players playing the game. And so I do think that Chimes needs to be changed to a +1/+0 or +0/+1. Because currently the stat buff of +1/+1 is quite strong. Or it's not that strong at all. But it fulfills Bard level up condition way too quickly. And without nerfing the +1/+1 too much, changing it to a +1/+0 or +0/+1 still gives you a randomness element to it, meaning that every creature will either get buffed in attack or buffed in health. And let's say you trigger Dower Chime, it's either going to be a +2/+0 or +0/+2 or +1/+1, which makes a Double Chime always going to increase either of the stats, or if you trigger two chimes on one card, it's either going to be a super random stat generation machine. And it's way better than a Double Chime activate, and then you +2/+2, and you instantly win the game on turn 3. Because your 3 drop suddenly becomes like 5/5 or 6/6, and your opponent can't deal with it. And so that's why I think that Chimes definitely does need a nerf. And the current nerf that I proposed might not seem too good. Even maybe making Chimes just as it is, because we all know that Riot will definitely release something that is way stronger than it is currently. And so we don't really need to worry too much about Chimes. Maybe this Chimes nerf from me is a bit too strong or a bit too oppressive to make this entire archetype look so weak. And so if there's one thing they can count on Riot, is that they'll definitely create more cards which are way stronger than anything that you have currently. And so with that in mind, do understand that the patch notes will only solve a problem temporarily. Because every single patch notes from this point on, every single expansion from this point on, it's just going to have cards which are way stronger than its last one. And so with that in mind, do enjoy the rest of your week, and I'll see you guys next week. And that's game.